have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Don't ever be ashamed of who you are. You serve God and serve God proud. The fact is, you should be celebrating.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another Stellar Friday with Minister Cedric on Relentless Pursuit. Thank you so much, Sister Kimmy, for having us on Elation Radio. We are back once again. We're We are back once again. I got to admit, I've been struggling today. I've been thinking about a few things. So I guess my hope is that we have a good conversation today. I was struck by Proverbs. I think it's 18:22, where it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." Oh, man, I've been thinking about that. Don't ask me why. It's just kind of sort of out of the blue. And I started thinking about being a man in this world. And I meet a lot of people. Like, I've met some people. I just came back from on a vacation for a couple of weeks in Dallas. And I've been meeting just a few guys, and we were just chopping it up. And I've met, you know, several guys that I've chopped it up with. But I met these few guys, and we were just chopping it up. And I came up with this thought perspective in our conversation, because the whole topic centered around what they thought, our ideas of women and what are wives and how, you know, how we treat our wives and things like that. So, again, that thought from Proverbs popped up in my head, and I was like, ooh, okay. And so I thought, you know what, why not have a discussion about that tonight? I thought, you know what, let's have a discussion. I want to, my final call to those brothers that I was speaking with and to a number of the gentlemen that I've spoken with, my final call was a simple one. And it was like, I need you to tell me what your perspective is on dating and friendship, right? So tonight, you know, I kind of just want to talk a little bit about that for about an hour. I'll tell you what I think. But before I get started, I want to bring on Jason, make sure he's with us tonight.
Yes, sir, I'm here. How are we doing today, man?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to I'm a little bit excited tonight. I guess you can tell in my voice. I'm a little bit excited. Had a good day today. I spent a lot of time working on a few things that absolutely have to be taken care of, but I'm doing good. I'm excited. I have no real complaints. You know, had me a nice big juicy green salad, and you know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Feeling pretty good. And so, you know, without further ado, I just wanted to introduce you to what I'm thinking about, what my mind is. And I'm thinking that, you know, you and I have had these discussions before. And my thing is, I've been divorced. Unfortunately, yes, I know some people are going to dog me out, but I've been divorced for, this is 2022. My divorce was finalized in April of 2000. And since April of 2000, I have only had two serious relationships where I thought were going to lead to marriage. One I wasn't ready for, so she left. The other, she wasn't ready for, so she left. So, no big deal, you know. So that's where I've been. But my thing is, I tell everybody this to say this. And talking to a lot of the brothers, you know, I kind of felt myself being frustrated. I was frustrated with, how do I say it? I was frustrated with situations. Part of me is frustrated with saying, okay, I'm all alone again. What am I doing wrong, right? I was frustrated with, I just can't find a woman that's the right type. I was frustrated with all these things, right? I found that was my underlying emotion, even though on the outside, all they got was, yeah, they got the very calm, the very even-keel guy who is just kind of, you know. And so one of the things I want to talk about, again, we started out by just saying I wanted the brothers to just kind of talk. And then they talked. They gave me a lot of food for thought. But I just want to start it out. I want to start out with you, man. Like before we get started into any direct topics, what do you think about dating and friendships in our Christian world? How we are to do it as men?
Well, you know my stance on dating. Friendships. I don't know if we are taught in our culture to be friends with the opposite sex, right? Unfortunately, if you look at, you know, what we're taught as young men and you see on TV, we're almost taught to see when there's conquest, you know, something to be conquered, something to be taken. And when you try to enter a friendship or a platonic relationship, that programming doesn't really go away. And I know everybody argues with me, oh, I've got this many guy friends, you know, but I'll tell you, it's a situation where I think in the back of their minds, you know, that programming is still there. And if that opportunity presents itself, they'll take advantage of that opportunity, you know. So when we talk about friendship between the opposite sex, like I said, I don't think that's something that happens or can happen successfully.
So listen, because this is one of the things that I was frustrated about with the brothers I was talking to, because I see that as, wow, I see that as totally the opposite, right? Now, I'm not trying to put you on front street. We're just sharing some ideas here, right? So you say your belief is that men and women cannot be friends, cannot be platonic friends, right?
Right?
Have you ever had a woman, had a female that was a friend who was a platonic friend? There was no physical attraction. There was no none of that. It was just y'all were friends. You thought of her just like one of the guys. You never had a friend like that?
I thought I had a friend like that until one night when I had too many adult beverages and an opportunity to change that relationship came up and she pounced on it. And I'm like, "What? Where is this coming from?"
But that wasn't you. That was her. So you don't believe that you can or she can, right?
Between one of the two involved, it's not platonic.
Yeah.
I believe somebody's going to fall to that programming, right? I believe that, you know, I can have the most innocent position with a female and be like, no, you're like one of my homeboys and this and that. But that programming in her may come up, and then vice versa. A girl can be like, oh, he's just my friend, that's my homeboy. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, just give me a chance. Just give me an opportunity.
Okay. So that whole friend, because I think it's funny, and I'm laughing not because I think it's stupid. I'm laughing because it's funny to me, because I can tell you, growing up as a kid, you know, in our junior high and our high school years, like, most of the people I spent time with were girls.
Right.
Were female. And it was platonic. Did I find them physically attractive? Some of them. But maybe in the back of my mind, there were some of them maybe I wanted to take out, but I never crossed the line. And they never crossed the line with me. Now, we're talking about kids. We're going preteen to teenage years. But even in high school, you know, when our hormones are just raging out of control, right? By the time you get through sophomore year, you're like, woo, you don't even know who you are. Junior year come around and you don't lost your mind. And then we finally get to rein it in just a little bit around senior year. But then we hit 19, 20, 21, we lost out. So I had female friends through most of those years that I never did anything. But here's the reason why I think that you feel the way you feel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I got from my conversations with the other guys, is that I feel like I feel like as men, we don't understand that women get frustrated because we as men, we don't know what they need or what they want. We think we do, but we don't spend that time to truly know. And then I think on the other hand, when you look at the women, I think that they're frustrated because we as men, we don't take the initiative anymore. Like, we don't leave. And whether it be a platonic friendship or whether it be a relationship. Now, I want to kind of focus a little bit more on dating because, well, that's kind of where all of the conversations I had led to. And so I think sometimes the woman wants a man to take initiative, you know, and I think that when we think about a Christ-centered relationship or a woman who's centered on Christ, right, I think we spend, man, I know I'm gonna get beat up for this one, but I think that we stop believing that God assigned a role for both the man and the woman. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
I think sometimes the Christian woman is just frustrated because the man abandons that role that God established. Now, I'm just saying, I just believe that sometimes that's what happens. What were you about to say?
I think when you talk about the role that we've established and God's established, I think in my dating life, I feel so much frustration, and women share their frustration with, you know, like you said, men, and, you know, he can't lead, he can't do this, he can't do that, and what I come to find out, and this is what I tell them, I can lead if you can follow. And part of the issue isn't the leadership. You know, there is a lot to be said there. I mean, a lot, and some of the issues is the following. And I tell every woman, like, being a woman, if you're dating the right way, following the biblical principle of dating, where you're supposed to submit your life to the leadership of the man, allow him to lead, to be the head of the household, that's a dangerous situation to be in. Right? Because if this dude is selfish, self-centered, irresponsible, right, and you're now supposed to turn over leadership to that person, that's a scary place to be in.
Okay. Before we even get there, I talked about having friendships with young ladies from my preteen years up until current day. And one of the things, I think, to get to the type of relationship you're talking about, what's the first thing that we have to do as men? What do you think now, again, I'm talking a God-centered relationship. I'm talking about two people who believe in the Word of God, two people who study the Word of God, maybe even together. I ain't just talking about people who go to church just for the sake of going to church. I ain't just talking about people who read the Word, but they refuse to put it in true practice. I'm saying that how do we get there? As men, you know, because I like what you just said, Jason. So explain that to us. How do we even get there as men?
Well, I think for a man, you know, we've got to, you know, prepare ourselves for that. And I think we've got two really good examples of preparing yourself for the woman or that bride that God gives you, right? You know, you've got Adam.
Okay.
You know, the first human, and then the last Adam, which is Christ. And you see their preparation was something that's a little bit different, right? I think in both you saw a love for God and an appreciation for the things that God has given them and a understanding of, hey, you know, this is my role and this is how I live out that role, right?
So let's jump into that role thing. But let's jump into that role thing. I don't want to bypass that. So this role thing, how do we even get to this establishment? How do you tell a woman, hey, okay, we got roles here? You know, you just met her. You met her. Y'all been friends for a while. Y'all both been talking, chopping it up, talking about the Bible and all these great things. How do you, what do you do as a man to how did you say it, prepare yourself? What do you really do? What is preparation?
So you know, just kind of going back to the role, we have to understand what that role is, and you know, and in my head is real simple. My role is to be a shepherd, right? And what I'm supposed to do is shepherd the people, places, and things that God's given me to further His kingdom agenda, that's what my role is, right? Now, how I execute that role, it will vary between the individuals I'm dealing with, the circumstances and situation, but, you know, that is my role, you know. So when we talk about preparation, the first thing to do is understanding what is my role, right? What am I supposed to do? You know, being a man doesn't mean that I'm people think being a man means that I'm in charge and you are responsible. Like we always say, not at fault, but always responsible. But that doesn't mean that every decision you have to be yours. Right. If my wife is better at, you know, better at making decisions when it comes to paying the bill, hey, you pay the bills. Right. I don't have to being a man doesn't mean that I have to have these control over these certain areas. Being a man doesn't mean it's not really about control. It's about understanding what do I need to do? What kind of environment do I have to create? How do I need to create a space where these people, these resources, whatever God has placed in my care, that I'm creating an environment that thing can grow and become the best thing that God calls for it to be. You know? So I think you know that's the first thing we have to understand what is that role.
So I think you posed this question to me before. You basically said, I think I was talking to you before about somebody I wasn't compatible with, but you asked me if I was, and I don't remember exactly how you put it, but basically you said, am I the type of guy? How did you put it? Am I the type of guy that I would want to be with, or something to that effect? And I think you're right. You started off by talking about being prepared, and I think the biggest mistake we make is men, because we're single. Like I've gone through two failed relationships, right, that I felt that could have led to marriage. And I don't know where I got it from, but even after I was divorced, so three. One divorce and then the other could have led to marriage. But the first thing I always did, and I know I'm getting a little bit off track, but to first prepare myself for a new relationship, you know, the very first thing I did, J-Dub? First thing I did when it came to relationships, the first thing I did was this. It is. I basically locked myself in a closet. In other words, I wasn't dating or talking to any women in a romantic manner. When I did talk or interact with ladies, I never did it with a romantic thought in my mind. And the reason, I didn't know at the time, the first time I did it, after the first breakup, the reason I know now, the reason I did it was because I felt guilty about the relationships falling apart. And so I wanted to first concentrate on being the right man, being the right person that someone else would choose, as opposed to just going out and trying to find the right person that I needed in that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's important. Go ahead.
No, you keep going.
No. I think it's important what you said. I think the first thing you always do to prepare yourself for a new relationship is heal and learn from the old relationship, right? I think you see it happen way too often, where when someone gets out of a relationship, long-term, their marriage, whatever it is, the first thing they want to do is jump into a new relationship. And they're not ready. They're not ready. And you know, and they think they're ready. They're like, oh, I've dealt with this, I dealt with that. But half the time they haven't. And all the frustration that they've had in that previous relationship, it just gets carried right on into the new relationship. You know, infecting it, you know, bringing it, you know, just causing so much turmoil. So that, I think that is really one of the most important things. The first thing you do in that new relationship is to heal and recover from the old relationship, you know,
right,
to ensure that, like,
the relationship you're having is the one with yourself, right?
Right, right.
Because for me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason that's so important for me is I always say, I remember being a young man and I was silly and I had all these crazy little things I would say. But one of the things I would always tell a young lady is, she said, do you love me? Do you like me? I would say, I don't even love me. How am I going to love you? Or I don't even like me yet. How am I going to like you? And what I was really trying to do, you know, hindsight's 2020. I think as I think back to that, what I was trying to say was, look, I'm scarred. I'm hurt. I'm not morally ready to be with you. My morals are in question right now. You understand what I'm saying? See, a lot of guys mm-hmm. don't, and the guys that I talked to before, they don't want to admit that to themselves, that your morals are in question right now. And think about this. I want you to think about in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when young men, you know, most of the marriages were arranged, but even so, when they were preparing themselves for marriage, right, what did they do? They developed a skill or a trade. Why did they need a skill or a trade? They got to take care of their wife, right? Mm-hmm. Then the other thing they had to do was they had to basically save up money. They had to pay, what's the word I'm looking for? They had to pay a dowry to the parents, right? So in other words, Jason, you want to be with my daughter. First, you got to prove that you can work and take care of her, right? The next, what you got to do is, well, you know, I kept her for you, so you got to pay me for my years and my tears. So you need to come bring some money over or some cattle or something to pay for it. Then check this out. You didn't just take her out to this piece of land that you've been farming that you purchased. No. Jason, you have to build a house, right? You have to go and build a house for y'all to live in. And only then when you've proven that you could do that, only then were you able to get engaged and then get married, right? I think the problem that we have, and the reason it's important for us to prepare ourselves morally, and not so much with traditionalism, but let's go with what the Bible talks about. I know times have changed, but I think that what we have to do and what this will teach us is commitment. See, a lot of times the reason our divorce rate, even amongst Christians, is 50% or more today is because there's no real commitment. Why? Because we don't practice commitment. You know what I'm saying? We don't practice just staying there. And I think that when we get ourselves practiced in that area, now we can start working on our morals and our values and know and understand why we want to be with this person. Does that make sense at all?
It does. And, you know, when you talk about morality, I think, you know, central to that is, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And I think there's a central theme that's going to come out as we talk about the various area. But, you know, when you talk about what's right and what's wrong, there has to be about not what's right for me, but what's right for us. Right. One of the things I always say is we got to think about the us. Because unfortunately, we convince ourselves to think like, hey, what's best for me is what's best for this relationship. But that's not always the case, right? You know, and when you talk about like that morality piece, the difference between right and wrong, it's I think part of that is beyond just the big things. I don't think we should steal. I don't think, you know, we should be doing these illegal activities. But, you know, what's the right thing to do in a sense of, you know, from a sense of righteousness, right?
Okay, so as a young man, you're talking to a young man because you mentor young men, and he's a Christian. Let's just say he's a Christian or one of the young Christian men in your church. You're talking to him, and let's just say he meets a woman. Let's just say he's of age to get married. Like, when we're talking about morals here, what advice would you give him about the TV shows, the different conversations that, you know, in the Christian world and in this world, period, there is always a underlying topic. No matter what we talk about, there's an underpinning, I guess the word is subculture. It always comes up, you know, and I'm just going to give it to you, but how do you tell a young man to beware of this? I'm going to give it to you is the in the 1980s, they just flat out said it. They said sex sells. So everything we talk about today, can be linked to some form of sexuality. How do you, because when we talk about morals, that's one of the things we really have to concentrate on, is that, because that, man, the enemy has used that weapon to perfection, and we fall for it every time. You know,
so
what advice?
Mm-hmm. What I would tell everybody is you've got to set a standard. Right. Now, I'll tell you the best standard is the standard God sets for us. Right. And there's nothing better than that. But if you're not a practicing Christian, then you've got to set a standard of, when you talk about morality, it's sexual. Right. What's allowed and what's not allowed. Right. And it has to be something that you've got to align yourself with. You know, I've seen too many women, you know, date guys who believe like, hey, it's okay for me and my wife to be in a strip club. Right. And in their hearts, they're like, no, I don't really like to do this, but if that's what he wants to do, I want to do. And here they are, they're in the strip club together, and she just, you know, she ain't feeling a certain way about it. And then later on in life, later on in the relationship, even after marriage, it fails because they weren't aligned.
Yeah. But why do you think it's important for us to protect ourselves against immoral, sexually explicit objects in our lives? Why is that? Because see, the thing is, for me, and what I would say is this. What I would say is this: is that it's a gateway. It's kind of like they always call alcohol the gateway drug. It always leads you to other drugs, right? When you can't get that same high from drinking, or maybe you get sick. I don't know. But that's what. If we don't go into relationships with the right mindset, it leads us down a dark road. What's the other big thing that we have problems with in our marriages today that causes huge problems? I think it's I think the first biggest reason for divorce is infidelity, right? So what's the number two one? That's gonna take. Now, mind you, we're talking about preparing yourselves as men. Let's prepare ourselves. So we're covering our conversation. We want to get to know ourselves. We want to understand ourselves, and we want to get to a place where we're studying the Word of God so that we can lead that woman. And then, you know, one of the things we have to do when we're doing that, we have to just kind of draw that line in the sand for our morality. We've got to, like today, our Christian heritage is being hijacked by these fools out here. They will do anything to be in power or anything to get what they want, and then they always run up and say, I'm a Christian. Just because you claim to be a Christian, you ain't a Christian. Are you following Christ, right? Because from what I understand, that's what being a Christian is. So another thing, I think that as men, we got to work on this one situation called our finances. Am I right?
Oh yeah. I think you know, if you look at Adam when he did, he had a job.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah. Adam had a job. Right? God said, hey, your job is to tend to this, and Adam did his job. And one of the things, as a young man, I always tell him, like, hey, I'm trying to date this woman. I'm like, well, you need to get a job first, right? You know, that's got to be a given, right? Because what kind of woman can you date if you can't even have a job, you know, and do your duty, right? And I think that goes to the create how God created men, right? He created Adam to oversee, to harvest, to work, right? And I think that's in the heart of every man is that workmanship. So when you talk about finances, I think the first thing is, man, you've got to have a job, you know, and you've got to be able to have some type of revenue-generating activity. And that revenue-generating activity has to be a legal one, right? You know, if you're out there, you know, doing all kinds of illegal activity and you feel like you're making that money, like, why would you bring someone else into that, right? Why would you bring someone else into that lifestyle? And, you know, I tell everybody, you know, when I talk to the young men at church, I tell them all the time, like, I ain't going to lie to you. You go out there, start slanging a little bit, you know, you can make a lot of money. But let me tell you what you also get. You also have to carry a gun because you don't know when someone's going to try to come take that money, and you ain't got nobody to protect you because you can't go to the cops and say, hey, somebody stole my illegal money, right? You live a life of always being on edge, never being able to trust anybody, never being able to just relax and let your guard down, because you never know who's around that corner, who's engaged in that same activity, who's going to try to take it from you, right? So all that extra money that you earn doesn't cost to it, right? And you got to be able to weigh that cost. And, you know, and those are the conversations you have. But financially, it is about, you know, getting yourself ready and prepared, having that job, and then being able to manage that money, right? You don't want to be that person who, when I get that paycheck on Friday, I'm over here looking for a payday loan on Tuesday. Man, manage your money. Man, work within your means, you know.
How many brothers you know like that now?
Too many.
They're going to get a payday. A payday loan, for real? I mean, you know, we all run into tough times, but even with that, one of the things that we got to keep, as you talk to them about that, we keep reiterating to them, quit focusing on what you don't have, right? Quit focusing on what you can't do. Focus on what you can do, right? How many, I know, I'm not trying to be funny, Jason, but how many times have you ever been told you have potential as far as a relationship is concerned by a woman? How many times have you ever been told that?
Told what again?
That you have potential.
Potential, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've been told that once or twice, and I was flat broke as a joke. I'll admit it, I was broke as a joke, but you know what? It gave me hope. Because and the reason I bring that point up is this right here, is just because financially you're not where you want to be does not mean you don't bring something to the table. And think about this. We talked about morals before this. If your morals are in the right place, you met a God-fearing young lady, you want to take care of her, but just because you're out of work, just because you're underemployed, doesn't mean you can't build a friendship first and relationship second. By the time you get to relationship, you probably don't rebound it. You know what I mean? You probably rebounded, got a better paying job, or if you're like me, you got two jobs. So either way, yeah, you ain't got a lot of time, but you got, you know, you feel comfortable in your finances, you can do what you need to do, and it's not for an eternity, it's just for the short term. And I think that once we, as men, we understand how to be prepared financially for relationship, and by relationship I'm talking about marriage, I'm talking long term, you know, man, look, if we can keep ourselves sexually pure in a marriage or in a relationship and financially stable, man, we got half the battle won. Don't you think?
I do, but I do caution sometimes, right? I've met so many just well-intentioned young men, and when they think about financial stability, they've got this ideal in their head that doesn't match their circumstance and situation, right? I tell every girl I date, hey, look, it's real simple. If you don't want to work, you don't have to work. But just understand this, where God has placed me right now in my life, financially, this is the lifestyle you can have, right? Now,
that's that wisdom. Honor that wisdom. Go ahead.
You know, if you're not okay with that lifestyle, well, then I guess it ain't meant to be. And I think that's the challenge. Yes, you want to be financially stable, but you also don't want to work. You want to work within what God gave you. Not everybody is supposed to be a CEO making seven figures. Not everybody's supposed to make six figures. There are garbage men out there. There are people making minimum wage out there, right? And, you know, and if that's where God has placed you, I think, you know, if you're working where God has placed you, the money's going to make itself work, right? And we talk about preparation. I think that's another part of that preparation is like when you think about that financial preparation, you've got to balance that with it. Okay, God, I know I would love to go out there and make, you know, $250,000 every year, you know, the high six figures. Yeah, I'd love to have a job like that. But is that what God wants for me? And if it is, then I trust him to get me there. And if it's not, then I find contentment where I am. And don't let anybody take you out of that. Because that's what happens a lot of times. You get that real beautiful girl, and you're like, okay, hey. And, you know, and she has these high needs and desires, and as a man, you want to fulfill those desires, but then you lose track of what's important.
Yeah, but that's part of that maturity. That's part of that wisdom that you were talking about. Because, you know, if you can learn to live off of, how did you say it before? If you ain't got no money, you make $10 an hour. You ain't gonna have no money when you make $50 an hour, because you're so used to spending everything you got. And the advice I would give young men is this. Like you said, Jason, you may be making minimum wage, but if you can figure out a way to save 50 cents a week, right, or $2, that don't sound like much, but it's 52 weeks in a year. If you just did $2 a week, that's $104 at the end of the year. Don't sound like much until you multiply it by five, and you look in the bank and say, oh, okay. So yeah, it sounds crazy, but it adds up. And then we didn't even throw in the compound interest, right? So it adds up over time, and I believe that that's what happens when you get yourself, when you start getting right with God and you start trying to do it the right way. God will bless you. He will bless your finances. He will bless your relationship. He will bless any and everything you got. But here's the key. It leads us to our next point. As men start moving towards that way, our spirituality. You know what I'm saying? We've got to be prepared in the spirit. Look. Long gone are the days that a man can marry a woman, drag her in the house by her hair, tell her to kick her shoes off and keep her there forever. Long gone are those days. You know what I'm saying? We've got to prepare ourselves to be really good husbands, like you were talking about a minute ago, Jason. And my thing is, you can't just marry the first thing coming along. If y'all don't match up, and I never used to believe in this before. I've dated young women in my past that didn't even believe in Christ, right? That didn't know God, didn't wasn't trying to know Him, or didn't believe, or were they were Christians, but they weren't practicing Christians. I'm gonna say it like that, and it didn't bother me, right? It didn't bother me back then, but now I realize one of the things that when I give myself to Christ, I need somebody else who's gonna do it with me.
I think honestly, when you talk about preparation, I think this is where it starts. And this is the most important. This is foundational, because I always say you can't be a good man unless you're a godly man. When you're preparing to be that man that's going to shepherd and fill that role that God has, especially in that marital relationship, you've got to be spiritually prepared, right? You've got to be
Let me ask you. I know I interrupted. Let me ask you. But how do you know? I mean, how do you know that the woman you're seeking is not just somebody to cure your loneliness? How do you know that's not it? How do you know she's the one that God sent you?
That's the other thing about it. It's interesting, right? And the way I answer questions, the way I answer my kids, how do I know when God's talking to me? You know, because of the relationship. Because I spent time with my father, understanding where his heart is, aligning my heart with his heart, you know, speaking to him, allowing him to speak into me, into my life. So when I have this circumstance, when I meet this young woman, you know, I'm already talking to daddy, and daddy's telling me, nah, that ain't for you, or that's the one, right? So when you talk about spiritual preparation, I think spiritual preparation is, and we alluded to it at first, is that time with you and yourself and God. And really strengthening that, you know, so that when you're out there and you're walking out and you're having to make decision and you're having to lead and you're having to, you know, serve that role that God's placed you in, you're fully prepared for it, right? You've got a relationship with the Father that when it comes down to make a decision, you know, you can make that decision. And even if the wife doesn't like it, even if she thinks, oh, no, I don't want to do this, even if she gives you any type of resistance and rebellion, you know, like, I'm going to stand strong in what I do because you know God's going to take care of it from that point on. So for me, the spiritual preparation is the key, right? And
that means, well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, that means that you read your Bible. That means that you pray. That means that you go to understand God's character, and you need to understand your character. Okay, God, why you have blessed me with these things in my life, right? And that's the key point. God has blessed you with the things in your life. Hey, my daddy didn't show up in my life. He was never there. God has blessed you with the things in your life. And you've got to start, you got to start being able to see that, be able to know that, and then be able to really come to know God and be like, okay, God, you blessed me with these things. For what reason? What are you preparing for me? What are you looking for me to do? And as you and as you seek him, and then the answers he's looking to give, he will respond. And as he responds, you're developing like his heart for you and what you want you to desire. So when you meet that woman, and it's the funniest thing. I love asking this question, right? You know, I ask, you know, when I meet a young lady, she always tells me, well, this is the type of man I want. I want A, B, C, D, and E. I'm like, what if God sent you X, Y, and Z? And, you know, and in their heads, they're like, well, God wouldn't do that, would he? I'm like, ask Hosea, right? But anyway, I think when we develop spiritually, when we develop spiritually, what we see more of is not getting to know who I am, but getting to know who God calls me to be. And you know, we talk all about self-esteem, and we all need to have our own self-esteem and our own identity.
Yeah.
But what we need to have is a God esteem and embrace the identity God has already given us. And when we can do that, everything we step out in is going to be tons better.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I remember, being single for a very long time. Like I was single for about 3 years. I didn't date. I didn't none of that. No female, new companion. Nothing. Just about 3 years. I just needed to be without. And one of the things I learned about myself was, you know, I prayed a lot, right? But what I had to do was, here it is. And this is what I believe happened to me. All of a sudden, I wasn't selfish anymore. I didn't think about me first. And then I'm gonna tell you the funny thing that you talk about relationship with Christ. I'll tell you the funny thing. And as I was talking to some of these other brothers, I thought about this, and I don't know if I mentioned it to him or not, but I thought about this. The other thing, after you humble yourself and you start following God's word, here it is. The other thing you have to do is you have to follow God's lead, right? You have to follow his lead, and the way you know you're following his lead is because now all your pretenses and apprehensions, they're kind of starting to fall away. They're not as strong as they were before. You become kind of a very even keel or neutral person, but then the next thing you got to do, you got to ask God. You have to ask him. Once you surrender to his will, and you're praying, you're studying the word, your whole attitude's changing. I think a lot of times we don't get the woman that we want or the woman that God has for us because we don't ask, or shall I say it takes a lot longer. If we don't ask for, we don't show ourselves even worthy of having a spouse. So I think that once we start walking through our steps, we have to ask God for it. That's what prayer is for. Am I right or wrong? Part of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right, you get to know God. God getting to know you. Yeah, and then I used to ask this question a lot. Why is it so important that I have a relationship with God? What am I learning from this relationship with God? Does it teach us anything? In your mind, do you think it teaches us anything at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. I think the relationship with Christ gives us. I think most of the world struggles, and I think the foundation of most of the problems is an identity crisis. And you see it play out in so many different ways, you know, that you know, really easy, the young man who thinks he's a woman, you know. But it also plays out that man who thinks that, oh, I have to go make six figure to be attractive, to get the woman I want. That woman who thinks that, hey, I got to dress scandalously to catch the man that I want, for men to notice me. It's an identity crisis, and we all struggle with that identity crisis. But when we come into a relationship with God, the main thing he gives us is that identity. This is who you are, right? This is who I made you to be. This is who I designed you to be. This is who you are. And in that identity, I've given you purpose. And in that purpose, I've given you things that I want you that you can do for me. And I think that's the main thing that comes from relationship with Christ. you know, is that identity. And from that identity, you get those fruits of peace and joy.
Okay, so you're saying in your walk with Christ, your relationship with Christ, you gain that identity, and you can get your peace and your joy from that.
Yeah.
But how does that equate? How does that roll over into your relationship with your significant other? Because, I mean, I got my idea, and my idea is a very simple one. My idea is that that we learn how to treat one another. Like you know how God is real patient with us? I mean, there's sometimes we just keep making the same old dumb mistake, and we keep saying, God, oh, forgive me, I'm not going to do it again. And he's so patient, and we do it again and again and again. And then finally one day we don't do it. We might do it again 2 days later, and then we go on a stretch of 10, 20, 30 days, and we don't do it. Next thing you know, the whole habit's been changed, and we never do it again, and we look back, and a few years is gone. Right? You ever been through that cycle? Have you ever seen that cycle in yourself? Because I've seen it in me, trust me. And I think it teaches us how to relate to our significant others. You know, as men, a lot of times today we get a bad rap. We get a bad rap. Like I've talked to ladies and, you know, friends. You know, so some are friends, some are love interests, but mostly they're just friends, right? And they will, it seems like there's always that two or three that say, yeah, I had a good relationship, but this guy, he was an old limp fish. He ain't had no backbone. And there are other ones, they say, well, yeah, I had a guy, but he was just too aggressive. He was just all up on me, and I needed space. I think that as we learn and as we build a relationship with Christ, we learn to model all of our relationships after Christ. We learn not to be so, I guess the word is passive, and then we learn not to be so aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we may find the right person. It just may not be the right time because we haven't grown up. And I think that's something that we should really work on in our relationships. I don't know if you're going to have to do that, but.
No. I think you're right, and I think that's where I think what you talk about by being either too passive or too aggressive, that's where I see identity playing a good role, because the passive man doesn't know who he is, so he's afraid to do anything and to be anything, and you know, so he'll just be like, I don't know, so I'm just going to sit here and whatever happens to me. The aggressive man, he equally doesn't know, but instead of just sitting there, he tries to create and be something that he's not, you know, and he has to come off forceful to demonstrate and be that. And it's that lack I truly believe that lack of identity is what causes that, right? But when you stand strong and you know who you are, you can say definitively, not an idiot, right? And you know, a lot, you know, it's interesting, you know, I have some very traditional views to the point where people are like, those are caveman views, but I stand strong in who I am, and people always respect it. And you know, they may not like it. They'll tell me, like, yeah, I don't really like your views, and they seem coming off, but I respect Ann and what you do, and you do it lovingly, right? You know,
caveman views? What are your caveman? You know you can't just run past that, and I'm not going to ask. What are your caveman views?
I believe that, you know, a woman needs a man not to be fulfilled, but that's to – that helpmate role is where a woman is at her best, right? You know, where she is operating as a helpmate to a man. Now, that doesn't mean that she has to do less or be subservient. It just means that God has given her a charge in her life, and God has given a man a charge in his life. And together, they should be able to live that charge out with her as the helpmate to his charge. You know?
Okay, well, wait a
minute.
My pastor
said something.
Take a breath.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Hold on to the pastor's thought. So you said you believe a woman's role is to be the helpmate to the man, right?
Right.
Okay. I like how you put it out, but you're going so fast, people ain't going to pick it up. So you're saying she should be the helpmate to the man, not subservient to the man, but there for help, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead and see what the pastor is saying.
Yeah. So the pastor said something, and I totally agree. Any place my wife has to lead me is a place I don't need to be. And what he's trying to say is that you don't recognize, and we talked about this earlier, if my wife is gifted in a place that I'm not, that's fine, right? That's just God blessing us. But if there's an area in our life that I don't have the capacity to lead and guide in that, and she's the only person that has that capacity, then that's a totally different situation, right?
Like,
and,
what?
You know,
like what? Give me an example.
Like, so in like a real-world example is that is, hey, I'm trying to go out on my own and start my own business, right? And I have, and okay. I don't know how to do that. I don't have the capacity to do that, but my wife has the capacity to do that, right? Well, uh-huh. In my head, if God wanted me to have my own business, he would have given me the skills and abilities to do that, right? And
wow.
If that woman is not, if that woman is not, yeah, he would give me the skills and ability to do that, if that's the place that he wanted me in, right? Because I truly believe God equips us for the things he has for us.
Right, man. I gotta ask. Now I gotta push back. I gotta ask you a question on that.
Mm-hmm.
What if God's way of equipping you with the knowledge and expertise that you need is that woman who already has the expertise? What if she's supposed to be with you? What if she's supposed to show you?
Right, but here's the deal. If there is a desire.
Yeah.
No, and I get that, and I think if there is a desire in my heart, then that's another thing. But what I see a lot of times is the guy has no desire to be on his own. But this woman saying, hey, I'm doing this. Let me show you.
I get you.
Right?
Okay.
Right.
I get you. Okay. I interpreted it wrong. You're saying if the woman is pushing him to do it, he don't have a desire to do it, he should not be doing it.
Right.
Now I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we good.
Yeah.
I want to try to check you. I just want to ask a question because, you know, other people can't ask. You know, they can't ask that because – Because here's the thing, and I'm glad you said it that way, and I know we just got a few more minutes. But what you said just leads us to the last thing I want to say. And the question I'm gonna ask you, because just because of what you were just talking about, and you can tell me about what your pastor was saying about, you know, what you just said. Then when you're out looking for your wife, Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? You know, we know how that goes, right?
Right.
But think about this. Think about what the text is really talking about. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. I don't believe, now I could be wrong, but I don't believe that the true interpretation of the text is that a guy who's out here hunting for a wife, right? I just to simplify it, I don't believe that it's saying that you're out here, you're hunting for a wife. I'm not coming back home till I got a wife. I don't think that's what the text is saying. I think the text is more saying like this. Look, you're on your journey with Christ. You have given God the reins, and you are on a journey with Christ. You can encounter your woman as you're on this journey, right? So you encounter this woman, and God opens up your eyes, and you realize this is the woman for you. You know, I think if we looked at that scripture more like that, it would settle a lot of us as men. It would settle us down. Because I'm not going to, how many men have I met say, I got to find me a wife? You slow down. Chill out. It's an abundant supply of women out here, trust me. But there's only so many, I believe, that God made just for you. Slow down. Chill out. Get the right one. So I think that us being men, as we go through life, as we go through preparing ourselves for marriage, preparing ourselves for the woman that we are to be with for the rest of our earthly lives, I think that we need to be the man that God called us to be as we're on our journey. Right? You know, I don't think it's a good idea to meet the woman and then try to be the man or try to figure out the man that God called you to be. You know, I think that's one of the misconceptions in the society where we live that I think we just got it wrong. You know what I mean? And I think we've been doing it wrong for so long that we've become nose blind to our own stinking selves, our own stinking attitudes. So, you got anything else you want to add for us?
No. Just on that last point, I totally agree with you, right? If you look at Adam and what Adam was doing, Adam wasn't looking for a woman. Adam was just waiting for God to deliver him. You know, and I think that's when we talk about preparation, that's what we do. We prepare ourselves to be the man God calls us to be, to really step in that, gain our identity in that, step that out, live that out. And, you know, we pray to God, and God will deliver that woman that's for us, that Proverbs 31 woman, the one that you say, well, I found a wife, I found a good thing, you know. But that incessant desire to try to find her and just grab her and chase her on your own, it's dangerous. Just because you may think you've got the right woman, but in reality, that's not the woman God has for you. And you just have to, you really have to just kind of know, like, no, this ain't it, right?
Yes. I think that just kind of sums it up. So, fellas, you know, you know what? We got to prepare ourselves. If we want to be, and if you're already married, maybe your relationship is rocky, that's okay. It can be fixed. We submit ourselves to God, right? And we start to live the way God wants us to live, and not the way man says we should live or the way we want us to live. And we really, truly put forth some real effort. I'm telling you, as we go along our journeys, God will send us the blessings that he wants us to have. He knows what you need better than you, okay? You don't even know what you need. You think you need a new car, and what God is saying, you don't need a new car. You need to change your attitude, right? You say, I don't make enough money to buy this house, and God is saying to you, if you stop wasting and start saving, you can have that house. You think that you want the most beautiful girl in your eyes, but God will send you a woman who maybe isn't the most beautiful woman in your eyes, but her heart is the most beautiful heart you've ever seen. I'm telling you, that's how God works. He comes, he brings us what we need when we need it. But I can tell you as a man, a lot of times that need was met when I least expected it, right? I'm telling you, God finds, he can lead you to some water, but what you really wanted, right? You said you wanted a drink and you was thirsty. You was thinking about a soda. You was thinking about some alcohol. And God sent you to some water, and it wasn't just any water. Y'all know how that water tastes when you had that the right amount of lemon in it, and it just and just does something to you. It's ice and chilled and it's cold. It's exactly what your body needs. That's what God does for us. So with that being said, Brother Jason, I want to thank you again tonight. Thank everybody else on this night. Y'all know it. I couldn't believe it, but tonight is Friday the 13th. Good thing that I ain't superstitious, right? I remember the movie, Friday the 13th. So May 13th, 2022. That being said, Sister Kim, go ahead and cue up our music. And I just want to say, y'all know what we say at this time. Find something you love, chase it, embrace it, and that is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric and Jason wishing you a wonderful weekend. God bless you.
Yo, it's your boy David Bitten. I'm going beyond the fence. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child, you know what I mean? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Yeah, I went from a male to a mentor. Good guy gone bad, I was never bad. Just hustling and grinding for what I never had. Sassy sold my first pack, I never looked back. Baking soda and water, show me how to cook crack. Tennessee and weed, chilling with the hood rats. Heather chill, XC pills, I let my book back. Look, I did what I did as a kid, so stand down. Got caught with my pants down, now I'm a man now. Nobody fronted me, never asked for handouts. I was low key, never had to stand out. School of hard knocks, never been the class clown. This part of my background, I'm talking the facts now. People know me, considered as the OG. We emotions won't control me. Immaturity don't provoke me. Look, because of the old me, I owe me. Troy G, JT, Big Brad was there to console me. Yeah. grew up in the trenches with the killers and hustlers. On the realer, you can be a killer and still be a buster. Fed my pit bulls hard white, no color in the butter. Turned against me undercover, now my kids gotta suffer. 10 of life, one conspiracy, no justice at all. They gave me 15 years, a homie claim he ain't mumble it all. I touched down, they realized I didn't fumble the ball. Staggered a little bit because of the fall. I didn't stumble and fall. Kept my head up, educated myself. Heard my pit bulls growling, contemplating my death. I cried in my cell, felt like I was living in hell. My cellie told me to thank God that I'm living and well. To get a grip on yourself, live instead of exist and make a better decision. Helping the children, put them in better position. Seeing none, just listen, give them a vision, keeping them out of these prisons. Yeah.